Hello, Sky friends, and welcome to Seasons of Skyrend, Book 4. We're a custom 5e D&D adventure that focuses on the stories of our characters as they seek to change the world, and how the world responds in turn. I am your host and DM, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at TheScottBlake.
Hi, I'm Chris, and you can find me at EwokKiller on Twitter. I play Finnegan Finn Tempest, a Tiefling Trainer, which is a Skyrend original class supported by the Metalweave Games supplement Baby Beastry. Finn is the trainer of Cerulius, a blue guardrake.
Hi, my name is Nate. You can find me on Twitter at Skyrend_Nate. I play Darvin Grimm, the human monk, and I am currently hosting Cade, the demigod of the land in my brain.
Hi, I'm Shannon. You can find me on Twitter at Skyrend_Shannon. I play Aranis Gray, the god of rebellion, and I am a half-elf bard.
You can also find the show on Twitter at Skyrend Podcast, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/skyrendpodcast. Head on over to find out about bonus chapters, early access, NPC creation, and more. Now then, thank you for joining us, and please enjoy this chapter in Seasons of Skyrend.
Cade turns to Veriflox. Friend, appreciate the protection you've given my workshop in my absence. Will it be safe if you and I are both absent? I wouldn't want anybody else getting to my spares. Veriflox nods and says, don't worry, I'll reset the traps. Maybe make a couple of them a little stronger. Cade nods. His spare bodies are quite valuable to him.
Understandably so.
Veriflox says, I'll need some time to do it, though. If we're to leave soon, then it's probably best that everybody else prepare.
All right.
Well, then, anything else to do here in the workshop, or are we heading back to the guest house?
We're headed back.
Yep.
I got nothing.
Cade says, I'll meet you above when it's time to leave, so we can head out at the same time.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he's going to have to go through the ground to get out of here. All right. Well, let me add one. Cade Mandeville. To our party notes.
That one time when we said we should assemble a team, and then we like actually did it. We actually assembled a team instead of just going like, fuck it, let's just go ourselves.
It'd be real handy if like Vizcara helped us out. Yeah, it would. Anyways, let's go.
And we've got enough travel time. Like, we can figure out ways to send word to other people if you want.
We could. I was also thinking you've got at least like me, the magic user. We should pump up that ring of yours with some high-level shit on our way.
That's not a bad idea.
If Scott will allow it.
I mean, we're going to have to roll for those things because I want to see if anything goes wrong. There's one thing when we were montaging with NPCs, but if we're going to do player and player helping out, it's not like you can kill him with one spell unless you've got power word kill.
I don't. I have power word stun, though. And he definitely has less than 150 hit points. He's skishy. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It doesn't kill. It just stuns him, though. And then
I know.
Then he's fine.
And then he's fine. I got better.
I mean, if he fails in the capturing, there is damage from the ring, but the spell itself is harmless.
Mostly.
Yeah. Also, because, like, it's player stuff. I think it's fun. It's not going to kill anybody. And then that'll give us something to actually like do on the journey north.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've got I've got training things that I'll be needing to be doing. So
yeah, that stuff.
Plenty of things to do.
The training stuff we don't have to worry about as much. It might be fun to have like a training roll or two just to see how out of hand little Scintilla gets.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyways, If we're getting ready to leave, Veriflox needs time to reset the traps, empower some of them, reseal up this workshop, most importantly. Cade will head out through the land itself, and you all can head back to the guest house. It'll be a couple hours just to get back there, and then Veriflox will need time to do their work, and you have to explain to your party what's going on. And yeah. So let's do it. You exit the workshop, leaving Veriflox and Cade behind. They don't seem to be in a rush to get to work. They're catching up a little bit. They're having a nice chat. And it takes a couple hours, but you make it back to the guest house. Your friends and allies are there, mostly relaxing. Some of them, the kids, are poking around. Veriflox has a lot of old stuff. There's some weird things here. Nobody's stealing anything, though. The only rogue you have on hand is an assassin, not a thief. Yeah, they seem to be doing all right. Is there anything that you all need to do before we leave?
Not that I can think of.
Nope.
Then let's get Sam, good old Sam, back on the scene. Back. Everything go all right?
Yeah. You'll see before we leave.
Okay. When are we leaving?
Sooner rather than later, but Veriflox has to reset the traps before we can do so.
And they're still coming with us, right?
Yep.
Gonna be a little more conspicuous flying around with a dragon with us. I hope you weren't planning to sneak up on Levesque up north.
I would say that, I mean, there's no point in stealth. Agnitai was in a meeting with a bunch of the gods where I said what was going on, so at least she knows, if not Levesque. At this point, there's no stealth here.
I mean, there's a big difference between him knowing we're coming and him knowing when we're coming.
I guess that's true, too. But...
All right. Kind of lowers his voice a little bit. Steps in close to the three of you. Are you worried about anybody else that's with us? We got kids. We got Parlin. You know, Rhystos might be up for going to punch a demigod in the face, but Seth? Morello? Tonk?
If we're going to leave him somewhere... This is as good a place as any if our new dragon friend is okay with it.
I'm sure they want to come with us, but I also know it's not going to be safe. And if we're lucky, we can leave them on the ship and leave them out of it, but we don't know what Levesque has got ready for us.
No. Before I put that as an option to the kids, well, we'll put option in quotes. Let me ask Veriflox if it's okay, because I don't want to just offer up this guest house.
Somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Darvin and Finnegan, are you okay with that too?
Yep.
Like anybody who doesn't want to go risk their life is fine to stay wherever they want to stay.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
There's a difference between those who are willing to risk their lives and those who have a very slim chance of surviving if anything happens.
Here's the way I look at it. Like... I'm not going to tell anyone that they cannot come. I am going to try and talk anyone who is going to, you know, die by stepping into the arena out of it. But I also understand that, you know, we're on the path to apocalypse and this is the first step. I totally understand wanting someone to die on their feet rather than running away.
Okay. All right. So you want to ask Veriflox if people can crash at his guest house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. They will return later tonight. They are catching up with Cade. They are resetting traps, empowering some traps. So that is just going to hang in the air for a bit. Do you want to talk to any of your allies before you get that permission?
I mean, like, I want to start those conversations now, but also if, like, this isn't a place that we can leave them, there's no point in having the conversation yet. Like, because then it's... Go ahead.
Not necessarily. The conversation just becomes, instead of leaving them here, wherever we decide to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because if they are not going to participate in this battle, then we drop them off somewhere on the way. Mm-hmm. Here, there, doesn't matter.
There are cities and towns in Celestia.
Okay, that was my next question. Similar places. Is there a somewhere to drop them?
There are. It's just these are places you haven't been, and you may or may not have allies. maybe if there's like a church or guild that you all belong to and trust, or know and trust, there's that possibility. Same with up on Lirinor. You know, groups exist in places, even if you don't know them directly. There are plenty that you would know indirectly. But I mean, like, going back to Sarakar is a detour.
Oh, no, definitely. No. Yeah, we're not.
If you want to drop them off at home.
Okay. As we're having this whole sidebar, clearly, like, Finnegan and Arnis are trying to figure some things out. And as soon as we're kind of done chatting, as long as Sam is still standing there, I'm just going to say, all right, except I don't want to just talk to the kids. I want to talk to everybody.
Sure.
Let's round everybody up.
Okay.
Family meeting.
I think Sam's going to go into the kitchen and he's going to grab some drinks. Like, he's going to grab some water, some cider, nothing alcoholic, you know, things that whatever Veriflox had handy there as drinks, he's going to bring out. He's going to set it down on the table there in kind of the dining area, lay out enough cups for everybody. He's like, all right, everybody, come get some. Got to have refreshments for a family meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of Ulwan, everybody will grab a glass and get a little something to drink. Ulwan's here, just doesn't need to drink. And Mahogany's like, hey, yeah. Darvin, no more rocks in your head, huh?
Nope. All the rocks are gone.
Nice tats, though.
The rocks move from the head to the arm.
Can I get some?
No.
Like, leans over to Tonk. I'm gonna get some. All right, so what's all this about? Why aren't we going?
One, because we're not quite ready yet. But two, because before we go, I think it's important to sit down and really discuss exactly what we're heading into. Because I think it's important that everyone who goes in understanding what's at stake and is given the option to not go.
Oh, Morello puts his hand up. He doesn't wait to be called on. He says, we're going into a stabbing solution. I'm ready.
It's not that simple. I mean, you're right. This is a stabbing situation. You're right about that.
He nods, takes a big sip.
But it's not that easy, this situation. So you saw what happened in Caravelle, that fight with all of those people on both sides. That was a big fight. It's nothing compared to what we're about to do. In that fight, I had every confidence that every single one of us would walk away. So I want anyone who goes to go into this fight knowing that I don't think I will walk away. I am prepared for this fight to be my last. And if you are not, don't go. And we will find somewhere for you to be, whether it's here or in another town. But don't go if you're not prepared to die.
Damn. That's harsh.
If I don't say it bluntly, teenager in that room is going to be like, fuck it, I live forever. You know? Like.
Oh, don't worry. Seth does not think that.
Oh, no. I know Seth doesn't. I know that Seth is going to do the smart thing. Yeah. Anyway.
There are some somber faces there when you say that. I think Seth will ask the actual, like, intelligent question here. Or reasonable. Seth will ask the reasonable question here. Where would we go if not with you? This is the farthest from home I've ever been. I only know the other people in this room here.
So there's two options. The first, and what I would consider best option, is that you would stay here. But I can't offer that as a guaranteed solution because I have to ask Veriflox first. And I haven't done so. So it would be pretty rude for me to offer up their house. But that would be the best solution.
And if not here?
If not here, we find the nearest city to here. And that's where you go.
Seth nods and looks into his cup. Takes a very pensive drink. Parlin says, Arnis, I would follow you to the end. Of course. I think Morello and Mahogany kind of nod along. not because they share the same faith, but yeah, they've got that teen, young teen, preteen, ride or die, I'm going to live forever mentality. Even if you tell them not to think that way, they can't change who they are. They haven't faced mortality at that level yet. Risto says, look, I don't know if it's going to be safe or not, but chance to put Levesque in his place? Maybe showing up on Agnitai? Ugh, wouldn't miss that. Goes without saying, Sam, Olwan, with you. Carolina is willing to come. She's not worried. I mean, she's worried, but her and Sam together, if they're going to go, like, I think she'll even say it, you know. If it's as dangerous as you say, I have to be with Sam. And Sam's like, yeah, I'll be there for Carolina. Felicity's willing to join you. I may not be much of a fighter, but I'll at least be with you up until then. Might need my help on the ship. Asturias is an odd case. She is your ally. We're in a different land now. And even if she's not on the best of terms with her guild, that's more just like the local arm of the guild. If that guild exists out here, it may not be so bad. Or if she just hides out in this cave, then also not so bad. I don't know if she's ready to die for you all. And the question comes down to, is there anybody that you want to convince to join you, like Asturias, or convince to stay behind, like Parlin, Morello, Seth? And Seth says, look, I'm okay with staying behind, but not if I'm the only one. So is there anybody that you all want to sway to stay?
I think at this point is when Finnegan stands up. Mm-hmm. He says, I have not traveled with all of you as long as some of you have, but a few of you are right idiots to join us in this endeavor. Now, I, for one, am not going in with the intention to die. Anyone who goes in thinking they're going to die is going to die. That's inevitable. But what I will say is this. Anyone who wants to go with us has to be able to face Cyril there, toe-to-toe, one-on-one, for 3 minutes. Because anyone who cannot do that, I don't want standing next to me. You're a liability. I've seen too much combat to know that you do not want the weak on your side. And if no one else in this room is going to stand up and say it, then I don't like to be a jerk, but I'll be the dick in the room. And I'll say that many of you, I don't want standing next to me. So if you're really determined to go on this trip and risk your lives, Cyril and I will be upstairs. Join us when you're ready.
So are you going to the roof or are you going outside?
Outside.
Okay.
I'm not going to mess up this dude's guest house.
Okay. For a moment, I was worried, like, you're just going to be in one of the bedrooms and have a brawl. Okay.
Oh, hell no.
I'm up for it. All right. Finnegan has said that.
Well, you know, Arnis came at them with the, like, oh, the friendly you're side. Such good little people. Make the right choice. Somebody's got to tough love it. And if no one else in the room is going to do it, it's going to be the one who's seen combat.
That's fair. Darvin, do you want to try to persuade anybody to stay or join?
No, I'm pretty much fine letting them make their own decisions.
Okay. All right, Finnegan has offered a gauntlet. Arnis, do you want to try to talk anybody out of or into coming before somebody goes up there and fights Cyril?
Do I have the option to, like, go up there and see who's fighting and try to talk them out of it before they fight then, rather than, like, preempt them here?
Yes.
Like if they're not even going to go up there, like, I don't want to...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to try to convince them of something that they've already convinced themselves of, you know?
All right. In which case, let's do this. Hey, Finnegan.
Mm-hmm.
Roll intimidation with advantage.
Okay. 12.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's get some people who would be on the fence. Morello wants to join. Morello, Parlin, and Mahogany, I think, are definitely the three who want to join, who would probably face the most imminent death.
Can I just ask before we go any further, like, where is Tonk in all this?
Tonk is present, but if you're not making an argument yet, he's not going to state why.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do here real fast is just have them each roll their bond against that intimidation. to see if their want to be with you and to assist you is stronger than this threat that's just been put in front of them. So we've got Morello, we've got Parlin, and we've got Mahogany. You are not going to believe these dice. Okay. Mahogany rolled the 3 for a total of 6. She's seen Cyril in combat. Cyril is easily twice the size of her. She's a child halfling, so she's already small, and Cyril, in or out of the harness, is big. Mahogany wants to join. She's like, if I have to fight Cyril to do it, nah. I don't think she's happy about it, though. Mm-mm. She, like, slams her cup down and just kind of, like, pout stomps over to the couch. Lies down, boots on the seat. Parlin rolled a 2, also for a total of 6.
Oh, my God.
They're like, Aranis, I do want to be with you to the end, but you know I can't fight. Not Cyril. Maybe not anyone. I can be with you in spirit, if nothing else. It would be a shame if these were your last moments, though, regardless of whether I'm there or not.
My friend, your faith, however much I doubt myself, has been unwavering. And you being here instead of over your head in a fight only strengthens it.
They will sit back.
That's all I got.
They will sit back down. Morello, Brash Morello, rolled a 16 for a total of 19. And he's like, I got to fight Cyril. I'm going to fight Cyril. I want to go. Like, goes over to his pack and just starts pulling out knives. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Dagger after dagger on the belt. Couple in his hands. Doesn't have the cool hidden blade, but stands up like, if no one else is going to go do this, I am. You want to be like, I came all this way. Now you want me to stop? You want me to leave me behind here? I don't know where here is. This is boring. What am I going to do here?
I'm going to look straight in his face and just go, okay, I'll follow you.
He takes a big chug of his water and just,
he's going to need it down. Some healing magic, so I am following him.
Like, he's going to march out the door.
Kid is going to need some fucking regenerate by the end of this fight. Jesus. I'm going to get torn to pieces.
Before you head out, does anybody want to make a case for Asturias to stay or leave? She's very on the fence about this. Aside from the threat of, hey, fight Cyril.
No, because that threat was not intended for her, right? Or Sam or Carolina. Like, all of them kind of get a pass, right? Because they've all proven themselves in combat, right? Like, if they were to even walk up there, I'd be like, you don't need to do this. Right? Like, you get a bye because you fought side by side with Cyril, right? You are tested in battle. You
saved our lives many times.
Okay.
Like, I would be the one to have a conversation with Asturias, but obviously I've left to go do this. So this is not something I'm going to do now, but I intend to do before we leave.
Okay. All right. Well, of all of your allies, only Morello is willing to go fight Cyril. Aranis, you're coming along. Darvin, are you coming along too?
Uh-huh.
You gonna watch a kid take on a drake? Jesus. I think as Morello is walking out there, he sees you, Fangin, he's just like, it's just me and Cyril, right? You're not gonna interfere?
No. That is not the terms. If you can knock Cyril unconscious, you're welcome to join us.
He knows you can cast magic through Cyril. It's like, all right then.
Before we begin, let us make sure the terms are clear. Cyril knows that she has to stop when you fall unconscious. Your rule is the same. Should you press your advantage further than that, you will have to deal with me. And a reminder.
Unconscious only. Got it.
I'm fresh.
Got it. Just knock her out. That's all I gotta do.
Oi.
Okay.
I step back.
I look straight at Finn and I go, yeah, that's all in quotes.
No, well, here's the thing. So Finnegan is going to give this kid full respect. Like, you're stepping up. You're going to do it. I'm not going to
I'm not going to assume you're going to perform horribly. Like, you want to step up and be an adult? All right, step up and be an adult. So Finnegan steps back a good 15 feet and just makes, you know, like, Cyril's out of the harness at this point, right? When everybody gets up there and just lets out a, like, high-pitched two-note whistle of just like a... And she just goes from, like, a casual, like, saunter to, like, full-on, like, every muscle taut, staring right at the kid, waiting for them to make the first move. This is not an initiative roll here, Scott. This is like Morello gets one last out the second they see this action.
If you're willing to let Morello have the first go, all right.
Yep.
No problem. Okay.
That assassinate.
All right. Morello has one dagger in hand. He's got several more visibly on him. He charges head first at Cyril. At about 10, 15 feet away, he reaches inside a pocket, pulls something out, throws it out the ground. Smoke bomb.
Yep. I thought it was going to be pocket sand, but smoke bomb just as good.
Nah, smoke bomb. The whole area erupts in this dark smoke. Just kind of seems to hang there in the air. And you no longer see him. Cyril no longer sees him. And he is going to leap at Cyril onto her back. First thing he's going to do is just try to plant a dagger into her back and hold on tight.
Oh, shit. Give me one second. I think I forgot that I just gained an ability with her. So give me one second.
Okay.
Because we haven't had like any real combat since the last time we leveled.
No, we haven't. What did she get?
She got, yep, there it is. She got her first high level quality, which is magical resistance. So she has advantage on saving throws against spells and magical effects. And okay. Give me one second.
What's the name of that skill or feature?
It's magical resistance under the high level. No, wait. No, I didn't take that. I took magical hide. I'm reading,
oh, magical.
Literally right in front of me, magical hide. And then it says resist, non-magical, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage.
Oh.
Okay.
So, I forgot all about that. Just took that.
Unless somebody's been slipping Morello magical daggers without my knowledge, this is not a magical attack.
Okay, go ahead and roll it.
All right, let's go. What's Cyril's AC?
16.
Ugh. Dagger comes down, scrapes along the scales. He doesn't manage to implant it in, but he is now on Cyril's back. What level? I just have to see what level. Rogues. There we go. That's the thing. Rogues get a feature. Okay. Cyril's turn. Cyril is in the smoke, but can definitely tell that there is Morello on her back.
Okay. For her action, she would like to like rear back and throw him off. I don't know what you want to do for that, but that's what she'd like to do.
Okay. Think there is something for this. It's pretty much the shove action. You make an attack roll, but instead of damage, you push somebody away. Because Cyril's not being grappled at the moment, so it's not a contest in that way. It's just somebody on her. So yeah, make an attack roll.
It is a 22.
Yeah, that works. She bucks Morello off.
Once he's off of her, she is going to burrow down and move her full move straight away from where they just were and pop back.
Okay. How much is her move while burrowed?
It's her 20.
20 feet. Okay. That does get her out of the smoke, unfortunately, for Morello. And that's all she's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Morello takes a moment in the smoke. You can't see what he's doing. He's going to charge back out, rush headlong at Cyril. I don't think this is going to be a long fight, so he might as well do his fun things right away, right? Ooh, I just got a great idea. I just need to check something real fast. Where is it? Never mind. Because the only way he could have that is if he did some thievery. That's not what he's about. So instead, he rushes out. You see him with his dagger in hand, reverse grip. He's charging at Cyril again. And this time, instead of jumping directly on her back, you see his free hand reach into his other sleeve, pulls out, extends his hands apart with a garrote. He's going to slide under Cyril, attempt to wrap it around her neck, and get her in a choke. Let's see if he's successful. There we go. That is 16. Mm-hmm. Gets it around her neck and holds it tight. Now he is holding on to Cyril. He is grappling her, and there is a choking sensation around her neck. What does Cyril want to do?
She wants to roll over on top of him.
Okay. Sure sounds like to hurt him.
Well, I mean, to get him off, like, right? Like, I mean, this is a fight, so she's not going to, like, not hurt him at this point. She was told knock him out, so roll over on top of him.
I'm just curious if this is an attack or if this is an attempt to escape a grapple.
I mean, at this point, it's an attack.
Okay. Let's make the attack roll.
17.
That hits. That hits. Deal your damage to Morello.
Oh, God, I just rolled max damage. 12.
Ow. She's heavy and he is small. And like the air just shoots out of his lungs. He was holding on as tight as he can. Is Cyril staying on her back or is she going to right herself?
Yeah, she'll right herself.
Okay. I didn't know if this was also a pin.
No, it's not a wrestling match.
Okay. He holds on tight and comes up with her. Anything else from Cyril?
I mean, I have the extra attack, but that's for my tail slam, so I'm not even going to push that advantage right now. So, nope, that's...
Okay.
You know what? No, there is one more thing. In this state, can she burrow?
She can certainly try for it, yeah.
Let's see what that does.
Yeah, let's see what that does. She burrows into the ground. Morello on her back, holding this garage. As we've said before, she does not tunnel. This isn't like a clear path. So I think he has to make a check to try to hold on and see if he's going under with her. This will be uncomfortable as hell, but let's find out. Cyril dives under the ground. Morello plants his feet on either side of the hole that she's going under in an attempt to just like keep her up. And the garrote snaps and stumbles backwards. Does she come back up? Or is she staying underground?
No, she's staying under this time.
Sweet. Okay, I mean, Morello can't do anything to somebody who's under the ground. So you see him reach into his pocket and he's just going to grab something. He's holding his hand in his pocket, ready to act as soon as Cyril comes up. And he's on the lookout.
Cool. So she's going to move about 10 feet away from him, from where they were, and come back up.
As soon as she comes up, he extends his hand, throws another one of these smoke bombs right at her face. Smoke all around her.
And now we're playing cat and mouse again. What's the radius of this cloud of smoke?
15 feet.
Okay. So she is going to burrow down and move laterally away from where she was another 10 feet. So that's her full move.
She's staying under the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, you know what? No. Oh. She's still in the smoke, so she'll come back up.
Okay. Morello charges in at the point where he saw Cyril, and you can hear him, like, charge in, like, ah! And she's not there. And he's quickly, like, looking around. And there's the sound of, like, whoop, whoop, daggers slashing. But he can't see in the smoke either. He was hoping she would still be right where he left her. What does Cyril do?
She's going to rush to where she was and try and hit him.
Okay, go for it.
It was with a disadvantage, I'm assuming?
Unless she can see in the smoke.
It's a 14.
That hits. Again, he's a child.
It's a 7 damage.
And Morello gets tossed out of the smoke. Cyril hits him, and he goes flying out, slides along the ground. He's passed out. And the smoke eventually fades away.
Ernest, are you going to tend to him?
Yeah. I should
do that, put my popcorn down. Just.
Hey, get your boy.
Yeah. So I mean, he's not in any like super real danger here, but I'll cast Cure Wounds on him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess I should roll, huh? You want me to roll?
For how much health he gets? Yeah, it'd be nice.
That's above average. Let me make sure I'm calculating this correctly. So 10 total.
Okay. Morello comes to, and he stands up, grabs his dagger off the ground, looks at Cyril, looks at Finnegan. You know, I would have had her if she hadn't kept playing mole like that.
Oi, do you want to try again?
Finn.
We could do this all day.
Finn, enough. Morello, you are beaten.
I know. I'm going inside. Going inside.
Thank you. You did well. He did.
He did. That's exactly what I was going to say, but you beat me to it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It helps if I stay the bad guy for a while. They need that. They need someone to blame. And Finnegan can handle it.
Okay. Is there anybody else that you all want to persuade one way or another?
I mean, I'm not going to persuade Asterius, but I want to have a conversation with her.
Okay. Darvin or Arnis?
No, I'm staying out of this.
Okay.
I want to talk to Tonk.
Okay.
Who's been noticeably non-participatory.
He's also the one that is the most on the fence in my book about, like, me wanting them to be there, because Tonk is, out of all of them, the most, I feel like, the most ready to be an adventurer.
Yeah, that's...
I have nothing against inviting him to be our, like, getaway dude, the, like, guy standing at the door ready to run with us.
Okay. Morello goes back inside. No, Morello doesn't go back. Morello heads towards the guest house. But then,
can I have one quick moment before
this is happening,
like, as Morello's walking away?
Yeah, he's like gathering up his stuff.
I toss Cyril a jerky and she noms it. And as she's nomming it, I think she like very, not like playfully, but like there's no menace in this movement, like pads over to Morello and like gives him a nuzzle. Good job. Like trying to just like, hey, that was fun. Like that was fun. We should do it again. Right. Like very like happy dog. Good girl.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of mode, trying to cheer him up a little. Cause you know, she knows training's hard and like it sucks to lose.
I think what you see, he's got that tough guy front right now. Like he wants to give it and like, be like, yeah, fine. But Perrin's just like, you just beat me up. So he's like, there's just like a look of like don't I want to so he's not gonna like push her away or pet her, but he's gonna keep walking. He heads back towards the guest house, but he curves around to the side and just kind of like disappears amongst the rubble and stones. Back inside we go. Tonk is there and tuning his lute. Not tuning his lute. Tuning one of his little mechanisms. One of his little music box things. You can hear a couple of like ding, 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 ding. He's just trying to get the sound right.
You're the one who wanted to talk to
him. Arnis, you wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, I did. Hey there.
Ding, ding.
Hey, Arnis. Big journey ahead, huh?
Yeah. I take it then that you're going with us.
Do you want me to go with you?
It's funny because a year ago, however long it's been, I would have said, like, hell no. Stay. You're too young. You're not ready. You don't know what you're up against. But I don't think that's true anymore, is it?
A lot has happened, that's for sure. Definitely seen a lot more than I could have imagined when I first left Karami. Just a couple little more things. Did you answer my question, Aranis? Do you want me there?
I want you there if you feel like you're ready to be there. Because I know that you know yourself, right? I don't need you to pass a test, right?
Finnegan seems to think we do.
No. The test, while a good measure, it's not for everybody. You know the stakes. You've been in a fight. There are people here who haven't, and that's who the test is for.
Makes one last little adjustment. It's a little cover on it. It's like tightening it down. Yeah. Parlin. Mahogany. I'm guessing Morello didn't fare too well out there.
No.
Seth. Like you said, they hadn't seen real combat. Fighting in the streets, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I should stay. Somebody has to look after him. If one of them gets hurt, who's going to help? Who's going to keep Morello from jumping at the next Drake he sees? If you want me to go, I can, but I think my place is here. People are staying. We gotta be safe.
Tonk, I have never been more proud of you.
Aww.
So you're not gonna try to convince him to join?
Nope.
With that, I am erasing Tonk's flaw of immature.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. 100%. The ability to know where you're most needed is one of the best qualities a leader can possess. Look after them. They need you. And hopefully, we will see you all again.
I'll have a new song for you when you come back. Promise.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Okay. Is there
anything
else, Peter?
Why am I always crying during D&D? Always crying.
This isn't even a sad thing. He's doing a very adult, responsible thing.
I'm just so proud of him. And I don't have kids, and Tonk is like my kid, and I just can't handle it.
I mean, Aranis doesn't have kids.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I just want to make sure you didn't forget about your own human child for a moment there.
She's literally in the room next door. No, she's impossible to forget.
Okay.
My own human child.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else people want to do before Veriflox comes back?
I wanted to talk to Asterius.
Oh, absolutely. I'm assuming while Aranis and Tonk are having their very adult conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's, I come back with Cyril. I get a drink of my own and I kind of sit down next to wherever Asterius is. And I say, "Hey, so are you coming with us or are you staying behind?"
Oh, well, that's a question, isn't it?
Well, from where I stand, I could see you choosing either way. I mean, it makes sense you joined us to keep yourself safe. No judgment there. You've done good work with us while you've been here. You've clearly learned a lot, and I've appreciated fighting with you the last few times we fought side by side. You're good in a scrape. We could use you.
Mm-hmm. The others are just going to be hanging around here. I doubt that they're going to need me much.
It seems like it's going to be a pretty safe place for them.
Never been hunting in Celestia, or Lirinor for that matter. I guess I'm not really worried about one or the other. Gotta admit, it's been interesting traveling with everybody here.
We are a hell of a ragtag group, are we not?
Yeah. Now, I know you all are thinking that this could be the last fight you ever had. Just between the two of us, though, how much do you think Agni Tai is really going to help him?
Boy, the way I see it, Agni Tai knows. She knows her way around a contract. It is her thing, after all. It is binding. It's whatever her contract is. She's got to have a way out. My whole purpose in going is to try and free her. I am a tiefling. She's my goddess. I serve her. I'm live here at her will. I don't bend the knee. I praise her as much as any other one of her children. But I mean, even if your absentee father you find out is imprisoned and you could do something about it, would you not? It's the right thing to do. And, you know, in the end, might get something out of it. Might not, but what's to stop him from taking power from his father and turning on her and killing her and thus me? For me, it's as much about doing what's right as it is self-preservation.
And this contract she's got herself mixed up in, you have a way out of it? Or you're just hoping?
I can guarantee she's got a way out of it. Even if she hasn't been able to manipulate it herself, which I'm pretty sure is probably the way it's gone down, all she needs is the right person, the right ally to come along. I very strongly believe that if we could find a way to get to her without him present, we change her from the enemy to the ally instantly. And then he doesn't stand a chance. What does he have to stand against us with? We have two gods, an ancient dragon, and a demigod, along with the former avatar of a third god. I mean, in that story, I feel like the ant standing next to the dragon. Literally.
Well, if you think there's a way that we can even just get her out of the equation, even if she doesn't join us, that's enough for me. I'm in no rush to hunt a god.
I tell you what, I'm not in any hurry to fight my own god, that's for sure, knowing the abilities that gods have over their children. I doubt I'd have any ability to fight her at all.
Let's hope we don't have to find out, right?
That is the ultimate goal, my friend.
Okay, I know this is a harder question.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes down to it, though, do we have a way to stop a god?
Well, based on what we've learned through the Withering, I feel like that becomes something that is very vital for me to be part of. Don't know how it would work. Don't know what it would be. But I think that's a conversation to start having with Arnis and Darvin on the way over. They were able to take down one god. Sure, they've got some insight in how to stop another.
All right. Just because I don't want to hunt a god doesn't mean I don't want to be prepared to do so.
Aye.
Somehow doubt the usual pit traps and nets are suitable against someone like Agnitai.
Darius, what is your experience hunting information?
If you're talking tracking somebody or something, yes. And if you're talking snooping around in a library, it's not my field of expertise.
I'm just thinking, we're going to need to find out as much as we can about Agnitai's situation if we're going to twist it and manipulate it to our advantage.
That would help, yeah.
We'll have to kick some ideas around on our way out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to dive into this island they've spoken about face first without planning on how to get in there. It's okay. One thing to announce your arrival on a continent. It's quite another to announce your arrival at your enemy's front door.
Exactly.
Can I ask a general question of the team?
Yeah, sure.
Because I can't remember the name of the evil guild of evil.
The guild of the evil. Island. There's
the glamour.
The glamour.
Thank you. The glamour. How much about the glamour have you told Finnegan at this point? Because you know quite a bit.
Oh.
Y'all have been on the island before. You've
interacted met with members.
And Agnitai.
Yeah. I mean, you know about the whole like Levesque situation, but I would guess probably not much more than that. Though, having now heard this conversation with you and Asturias, it is my intention on our way up there to like really debrief everybody on like everything we know about the island and like what we have encountered there previously, who we have encountered there previously. And yeah,
I'm thinking, another question. Does Arnis still have the flower, or did that go away when he became a god?
Oh shit. There's a question. I don't even know the answer to that.
That little Brumbles flower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
feels
it's still
a little late to be asking that question, but like,
I would think that it's still present. I think that your divine power, though, has probably caused it to revert back into a tiny little bud.
Oh, yeah. It kind of causes a feedback loop.
It's just competing power. Like,
Yeah.
Brumble put it there as a god, but now you are a god. So the ability for him to physically have something on you and like spy on you is reduced. So it's just, I'm sure when you pull your shirt off, you still see it there. There's like a little tiny hard bud.
I'm thinking the other thing that we haven't talked about yet is like, there's a shit ton of gods who have chips in this pot that we could also seek assistance from, right? Like if this goes any way but to Gregic's advantage, it upends the Parthenon again for the second time in, what, 2 years?
Pantheon.
Same difference.
Yeah, I got you.
I think it's a little longer than 2 years, but yeah, in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So I think, sorry, I got us totally distracted from my conversation. I think we can just kind of like fade out on Asturias and Finnegan, just kind of shooting the shit about the little that I know, maybe even talking about how we might, you know, how would Asturias attack an island? How would I attack an island? Like just literally at this point, spitballing shit.
Yeah. Is the island in the sky? Is the island in the water? Who's on the island? You know, how many angles of approach do we have? If you're flying, a lot, but those become very obvious. You know, do you choose to land at the shore? But that's all for discussion when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
This is all just spitballing ideas.
Right? Like,
is
there a way to hire out someone to do some recon for us, right? Like, so that when we arrive, we have even more information. There's tons of things we could be talking about.
At such a great distance, without any magical means of communication,
yeah,
I don't think you could hire somebody out because you don't have allies there.
Mm-hmm.
Not directly. I mean, if you stopped at a church or a guild hall, they probably have magical means of communicating with their members there. But seeing as you don't have those means of communication and you don't have known allies there, aside from presumably Agni-Tai, I don't know who you would contact. Or how. Okay. Well then, as these conversations are wrapping up, Asturias proving herself willing to go, just hopefully not having to hunt down a god, Tonk making the very mature decision to stay behind and watch the others, Veriflox returns. Come walking down the steps. Well, that should keep out any trespassers. Any nosy ne'er-do-wells. Of course, before we leave, I should probably safeguard this place and the entrance as well. But I'll probably be on the way out. Wouldn't want to trap something if people are still inside, right? When do we all head out? Morning? Need a rest?
I have a question for you.
Pose it as leaving behind guards as a thank you.
Kind of what I was going to do. Sort of. So, we've got some folks who are amazing traveling companions, but not necessarily ready for as big of a fight as we're headed toward. We're... Oh, dear. Oh no, I regret my decision to ask this question already, but it's too late to back out. I'm already talking. We're wondering if it's possible to have them stay in the guest house until such time as someone returns
here.
Yeah, partially because it's now somewhere familiar to them, but partially as a way to not leave your place unattended while both you and Cade are gone.
And who would be staying behind?
I give them the list of people. Yeah,
right. Don't see the boy around. Morello, don't suppose he's off getting into any trouble?
No, I can actually pretty much guarantee he's not. He's pouting.
Huh.
he's the only one not willingly staying behind.
Hmm. All right, Arn, just roll persuasion. Let's see how they take this at first.
30.
Hmm. Well, depending on how long we'll be gone, the provisions should hold out. I don't tend to eat much from these supplies. This is not a safe place. The house is, yes. But if they leave the house, they venture back towards those tunnels, for example, that would be dangerous. If they manage to get into Kate's workshop, which, again, I am hoping you did not tell them about, that would be more dangerous. I could set traps around the guest house, keep them inside.
Before you do that, are you okay if I bring Tonk into this conversation? With no mention of the workshop, of course.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so I'm just going to call Tonk over and say, so it's looking like maybe, and I'm not going to say definitively, you can stay here, but you should know, and as the one who's going to kind of be in charge, right, you should know, and I'll kind of direct Tonk's gaze to wherever, like, the tunnels head out, that, like, that direction is a no-go. It is extremely, extremely dangerous. And I will kind of look to Veriflox, like, should I say more than that? Right, because, like, I'd be willing to, like, tell Tonk that it is extremely trapped at a level that you can't survive. But I don't know if Veriflox wants me to tell him that.
Right. I think Tonk first asks, so just stay out of the tunnels. That's it. We can do whatever else we want.
Well, that's why we're talking to you. I mean, even with you all here, and maybe with you all here, Veriflox is worried about the safety of the lair and also your safety. So they suggested, and you're going to be the one in charge, that it may be safest to, like, trap outside the guest house, though, that you all stay inside. Again, until such time as somebody returns.
Wait, so we'd be... almost sounds like we'd be imprisoned in the guest house. Shouldn't we have a little bit more leeway than that? Tell me we can't even get out to stretch our legs?
Again, I'm going to look to... I'm going to look to Veriflox and be like, I will tell you honestly that I trust him to keep people in line, but it's a matter of whether you trust him.
Roll another persuasion.
29.
I'm getting lower, but not fast enough. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, don't wish for a crit fail. Don't do that.
Veriflox says, well, protecting the guest house itself would be the best way to make sure everybody here stays safe and avoids the tunnels. But if you're telling me that he can keep them away from those tunnels to begin with, I suppose I could only protect the entrance. They wouldn't be able to leave, but without a ship or without some other way to fly, I don't know how they would go out that way anyway. They turn to Tonk. You would have free roam over the rest of the cavern, of course. Not much out there. Mushrooms, bats, vermin, insects, you know, nothing that I'd worry about. Hopefully nothing you'd worry about either, but I suppose it's hard for me to judge. You know, what is a scorpion nest to a huge dragon?
Right. At this point, I just look at Tonk and go, does that sound fair? Like something you can do?
Yeah. This place is comfortable enough. And if we've got the rest of the cavern, all right. It'll feel a little bit less like we're being put in a box, waiting for somebody to come back and let us out. All right. He turns to Veriflox. Thanks for letting us stay. We'll try not to make too much of a mess.
You should clean up after yourself. like Arna starts to giggle and then goes like, oh no, don't do that. You need to clean up.
don't mess with the dragon.
Right?
Well, I mean, with what we got here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people living here for an unknown length of time.
Yes, that's true.
And only one adult who is a senior citizen. Tonk and Seth are the next two oldest. But yeah, everyone else is... there's Parlin, and then there's four minors. By the time you return, there might be some adults. I don't know how long you're going to be gone. Of course, the terrible notion is if everybody dies, and then they're stuck. No, don't worry about that. It'll be fine. Okay. Veriflox says to Tonk, there isn't exactly a key. You don't have to worry about locking up or anything. There should be enough food and provisions, but if you want to go find some of your own, that's okay. Just don't go in the tunnels. You'll know you've gone the wrong way if you get electrocuted. Other than that, you should be fine. Well then, heading out now or in the morning?
I think fresh in the morning.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly what I was just going to say.
All right. I'll prep the exit. I'll meet you at the ship in the morning. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Anything at all people want to do before we leave here?
Nope.
Because the outro is us getting on the ship and flying away.
I'd say that's where we're at.
Done what I need to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the night passes, and in the morning when everybody awakes, Olwan, Felicity, Asturias have all already headed towards the ship. Sam and Carolina are picking up some final few things, borrowing a few provisions. Rhystos is simply hanging around. Mahogany and Asturias say their farewells to one another. Mahogany gives Asturias a hug, then gives Chase a hug. But there's no tears. This isn't a sad departure, it's just unfortunate when you see your friends leave. But they're each feeling pretty confident in the other. Tonk, Morello, Parlin, Mahogany, Seth are further unpacking their things and rearranging the living space, making it a little bit more their own. As you all head out to the ship, Veriflox is waiting there in their draconic dwarf form. Alrighty then, it's been a long enough night. Let's take to the skies. We won't get on the ship. Olwan pilots it towards the exit. As the ship passes through the exit of the cavern, Veriflox heads the aft of the ship. And as the ship exits, they breathe in deep, their chest swells, and they release this wide, crackling field of lightning. It strikes the edges all around the entrance to this cavern, and for a moment, you see this huge lightning net encompass the entire entrance, and it fades away. Tiny crackles on the edges. That should do. As long as those kids don't try to get out that way, or through the tunnels, they'll be fine. Gonna miss it. Haven't left that cavern in some time. This should be fun, right? And the ship continues to rise higher, leaving the chasm between the islands of Celestia, raising up higher. There on the ground, you see Cade waiting. He has sat down, and as he sees the ship rise, good. I was getting a little worried you would never leave. So then, see you in Leonor. And he begins striding across the land with an unnatural speed. Yes, his new body is tall, but it seems as if the ground underneath his feet is propelling him forward even faster. Olwan turns the ship north to follow Cade while he can still keep him in sight. Veriflox, standing at the rear of the ship, says, well, if you need me, give a shout. And they leap off the ship, midair, transform into their full dragon shape. And below you, you see nothing but blue and white silvery scales glittering in the sun. They bank to the side, rising up, flying next to you, flying ahead, following Kay as you begin your journey, finally, to Leonor, to Levesque.
And with that, we'll bring this chapter to a close. But the story will always continue. Thanks again to all of our Patreon patrons for your support. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/skyrenpodcast and pick out a level that's right for you. Before we go, I'd like to give special thanks to everyone at the $5 and up tiers. At the $5 City Council level, thank you, Shannon DeMello. At the $10 mayor level, thank you, Christopher DeMello. At the $15 governor level, thank you, Phoenix Bryan and Sierra Jones. Thank you for listening to this chapter in Seasons of Skyrend. If you like what you heard, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us. If you want to chat, we're on Twitter at Skyrend Podcast. You can join our Discord server, or you can email us at skyrendpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us online at skyrendpodcast.com. As always, thanks to Daryl Barnes for creating our theme music. You can find them on Twitter at @DarylBarnes_. We also want to thank the talented @Gabby_Desu on Twitter for our fantastic podcast art. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Seasons of Skyrend.